4. I don't know whether I will finish this today or not, but probably, as far as I can tell, and of course you know how far that goes, it will be 2 more messages at most. Because there are a few things that I still want to get to. Last week, I talked about the reason for our responsibility. But let me just clarify something once again. You've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. Although the words can be interchangeable, there are times when they are not. And what I'm talking about is the responsibilities that are associated with adoption. We see that mainly in verses 7 through 11 of Galatians chapter 4. But let me say this. We are accountable whether we're responsible or not.
Exactly.
And what I mean by that is we are so prone. In our natural state, we are not responsible. We are irresponsible.
That's it.
And even after we're saved, the reason Paul gives such great warning in this epistle is not simply because it happened. Now, it did happen. But the reason he gives so great, one of the reasons why he gives so great warning is that we are so prone to such things.
Exactly.
That's why.
That's it.
As I read to you, what was it, Peter, when he said, put away malice and hypocrisies and deceit. Why? Or laying aside. Isn't that what he says? Wherefore, laying aside all malice and hypocrisies and deceit. Why? Why does he say, tell believers to do that? Because we are so prone to it. It's such a part of us.
Exactly.
I know there are those who think when you're saved, all of those things are completely gone. But they're not. They're not. But let me, I won't read the passage again. I've read it several times. But let me say that you talk about a blessing now. Talk about a blessing. Adoption, this is kind of what I ended with last Sunday. Adoption not only enables us to experience an intimate relationship with God, and it does.
Yes, sir.
There is no doubt about that. But adoption also opens wide the door to our experiencing God's relationship with us. This is something that most people, sadly, who even profess to be Christians, deny. That is, that God ever had an eternal relationship with anybody. Mm-hmm. Most people who profess to be Christians, at least in my experience, by what I can see out there, mm-hmm. most people believe you kind of start out as a child of the devil, you're in the devil's family, and then somewhere along the line, something happens, you are saved, and you are then adopted into God's family. That is not scriptural adoption. Just not so. Those who are the children of the devil will always be the children of the devil.
Amen.
As Tim James said in a message some years back, you are what you are. You don't become, in that sense, you don't become anything.
Exactly.
So this is a glorious thing that God Almighty expresses to us, not only enables us to have a relationship with Him, but that we can have, to some degree, Joe, a knowledge, an understanding, and even experience His relationship with us. What was it He told Jeremiah? Behold, I have loved you with what? An everlasting love.
Amen.
It's the same word there that is sometimes translated eternal. That is God's love for me. If He loves me today, David, He has always loved me.
Amen.
And He always will. That's a glorious thing. And that's what Paul is saying when he says, speaking of this response, but now. And it's actually a rebuke.
Yeah.
But he says, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather. Now he is not belittling knowing God.
No.
Because that's what the adoption's for.
Yes, sir.
But the whole thing is, the adoption is based upon, our relationship with God is based upon God's eternal relationship with us.
Amen.
It's the foundation. His relationship with us is the foundation. David also said, behold, the Lord has made with me, what? An everlasting covenant, ordered in all things.
Yes.
And sure. And what did he say? This is all my hope.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yes, sir.
It's not, oh, I got a relationship with God. That is glorious. But a lot of people think they do.
Yeah.
And don't.
Exactly.
But if God reveals to you by His Spirit in His Word that He has a relationship with you, then it's all settled. That's when you can finally say, you know, it's finally when you can finally sit down and rest in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, since God is my Abba Father, and I'm just putting this out there, since God is my Abba Father, do I need a stepfather?
Exactly.
Do I need any other father? And I say this, I mean to say it this way, but not in a self-righteous way. Dare I seek anything else to be my father?
Exactly.
But yet we're so prone to.
Right.
Are we not?
Yep.
Now before I go into this, I was going to do it later, but let me just say it now. In all of the subjects that I've spoken about so far, about adoption, but then not only that, what I've said in and of itself is neither here nor there. What the book says about it, or what I have said directly from the book, that is God's word, period. There is no debate. There is no argument about that. But in all of this epistle, and think about it, let's go back to why was this epistle written? What had happened? Do you remember what had happened?
Yeah.
False teachers had come along and began to teach professing believers in Christ Jesus. Those who believed in the free and reigning grace of God. That's what the book calls it.
Yeah.
I don't call it free and sovereign grace a whole lot anymore. Why? Because I want to use what even the King James translated, free and reigning grace.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not even going back into why that is, what it is, what it is. You know the gospel that's preached here.
Yeah.
But what happened? Here's men and women who have made a profession of faith in that gospel, in the Christ of that gospel, and some men had come along and bewitched them, had tricked them into believing not necessarily something else, but something with that.
Exactly.
Something, they weren't saying deny all that. They're saying you've got to have this with it. Now, of course, the facts are, if you add something with it, you are indeed denying the first part.
Exactly.
But that's the whole problem of being bewitched.
Yeah.
When you are, you don't recognize it right at first.
Exactly.
So there was a serious problem here at Galatia, right? Notice, now I want you to think about this. I'll give you a moment to think about it. If you got the answer, you can say it out loud. But there, you ever noticed there's one thing that is conspicuously absent from the whole book of Galatians? There's one word that's conspicuously absent. Have you ever thought about that? You know what that one word, anybody got an idea what that one word is? That is conspicuously absent from the book of Galatians. It starts with the F. You know what that word is? It's never even mentioned. It's the first part of F-O-R. G, forgiveness. Have you ever noticed that? Most of us have the idea, all right, here, I'm a believer. I fall into sin. I fall. The first thing that ought to be done is people ought to seek my forgiveness. Is that the truth? Is that the truth? No! The first thing is to seek my what? And that is mentioned. Restoration.
Yes, sir.
First. What does he say? Brethren, verse 6 or chapter 6, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, forgive him. Is that what it says? No. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, any specifically, of course this would include any fault, would it not? But specifically it's the fault that's the problem here. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, do what? Restore.
Amen.
Such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, don't think you're above the fray.
Exactly.
And that you can't be drawn away, because one of the problems with me is me.
Exactly.
My flesh, my corruption, my propensity to want my own way, even if it hair-lips God. And that's still in me, just as much as it ever was. As a matter of fact, it's far more active in me now than I think it ever was. Or at least this, Jay, I didn't recognize it so much back yonder. But I certainly begin to recognize it more and more. The longer I live, the more I recognize my propensity to want my own way rather than God's way.
Yes.
Now, if you're not like that, then you got no reason, and neither do I, to believe you're a part of my family.
That's it.
Because that's the way all my family are.
Yep.
You know that? That's the way all my family are. And let me tell you, this is not a statement of pride. This is a statement of God's word. That's the way all of God's family are.
Yes, sir.
You remember the message I preached a couple of Sundays ago. Yes, we're to grow, but you never grow above this truth. You are a sinner, corrupt, and in bondage in your flesh. And it's just as corrupt as it ever was. And don't ever think you can grow beyond, above, or out of sight of that. Because if you do, what does Paul say to the Corinthians? Let him that thinks he stands do what? Take heed, lest he also fall. It's right at the time when we think we really got it, when God will show us we don't have near as much as what we thought we did. Or remind us what we really got in us.
Exactly.
And what is in us? Again, Romans 7, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing.
Amen.
But let me ask you this. Does that then in any way negate my responsibility to the truth of God? No, in no way. Even my failure does not negate responsibility before God.
That's right.
Think of this, as I said it. Since God is my Abba Father, do I need a stepfather? What an insult that would be to God.
Yeah.
And yet this is the very thing that was taking place at Galatia. These people were insulting God by saying there's something greater than God in His Son. Now, let's look now at the reality of our responsibility. The reality of it. To know God, that is adoption. So that's what we're talking about. That's the main subject here. To know God, that is adoption, causes the Son of God, the Son of God, and I don't mean Christ, I mean the Son of God, the individual that God Almighty has adopted, brought them from being a child and then places them as a son. That individual, it causes that person to turn away from anything. It's not it ought to, it does. If this hasn't happened to you, you have not yet experienced the adoption. I don't say that to be mean. I say that because I care about your soul and the truth of God. And your soul and the truth is more important than opinion or emotion or feeling. It's not they ought to, they do, they will. The adoption, to know God, the adoption causes the Son of God, the believers in Him, those who have been adopted, to turn away from anything and everything that would compete with or even is perceived to compete with God in Christ Jesus. That's what conversion's all about. Whenever God converts you, and conversion, adoption, the reason you have a conversion is because God Almighty adopts you.
Yes, sir.
He sends His Son into your heart crying what? Papa, Father.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say it, but it's certainly the overall estimation of Scripture. Then that person begins to experience that nothing else competes with, or if it is even conceived to or perceived to compete with God, then it is to be what? Cast out.
Yeah.
Going so far that the Apostle Paul uses the illustration, what does grace say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son.
Yeah.
What's that? That's the law, and everybody who thinks the law gives them righteousness before God.
Yes, sir. Man.
Cast them out. They're not to be a part of your group.
Exactly.
Right?
That's it.
It's the whole part. Why? Because God Almighty will not compete with anyone or anything when it comes to His glory.
Amen.
I am God. My glory, I will not. Not all, not have to.
Yeah, exactly.
My glory, I will not share with another.
Amen.
It's not just, well, as long as you're not trying to take all glory from God. No, anything that tries to take any glory from God is an affront to God Almighty.
Amen.
And people ought to sit up and listen to that. They ought to care about that. That ought to grip their souls. And if they profess to be a believer, it will.
Yes, sir.
It will. Why? Not because they ought to be there, but because that's where God brings them. How do I know that? Because now, it's not my opinion that matters about that, is it? Is that my opinion? Is that what matters? If that is my opinion, and of course you know what the literal translation in this English book here for opinion is, don't you? It's called heresy. But any man's opinion, you're free to take it or reject it.
Yeah.
But you may be right or wrong yourself, you know?
Exactly.
But the point is, if it's God's word, then God says it. Whether I'm right about it or not, whether I'm a part of it or not, Joe, if it's the truth, it's the truth, it's the truth.
Amen.
Here's what Christ said. Let's look at just a few passages. John 17. And of course, you know, what I'm preaching is no new truth. John 17, the first few verses, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power, that means authority, but also might as well. It includes both. He has the right and the might.
Sir.
He has the power and the decree to do as he will. With what? As thou hast given him power, what? Over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, you can stop right there. That teaches the whole plethora of all free reigning grace.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ has sovereign control over every single individual on this world that's ever been on this world or ever will be on this world.
Amen.
And he has power over all of them to do what?
Yeah.
In order that what? That he could save them all? If he wanted to, he would.
Yes, sir.
But he has authority, that's might and right, over all flesh. Why? That he should give eternal life to as many as. Now, you cannot read both those in the same sentence and think they both mean the same thing.
Exactly.
Can you? He has sovereign right over everyone to give eternal life to the ones he wants to.
That's it. Yes, sir.
Now, here's the point. That is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's not who I say he is. That's not even who John said he was. Is it? That's who Jesus said he was.
Amen.
Now, do you believe him or me?
Exactly.
That's what it boils. It doesn't matter what you think I said. Look what he just said.
That's right.
Do you see it? Now look, but it's even more than that. that he should give eternal life to as many as, but then he even qualifies that.
Yeah.
To as many as what? As thou, who's he talking to?
Yes,
the Father has given him. Now that's election, predestination.
Yep.
That's particular redemption. That's the whole ball of wax right there in one statement.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Well, I don't believe that. Then you don't believe him.
That's it.
That's where it boils down to. Now, Amen. Either you believe this Christ or you believe a false one if you believe in a Christ.
Exactly.
And if you don't believe in a Christ, you're out of the equation to start with. And remember, the problem in Galatia wasn't those that are without and within. It was about everybody who's where?
Yeah.
Within. Everybody who claims to be a part of this one group, right?
Yes, sir.
That's the problem at Galatia. The Galatia wasn't, well, you got them old worldlings out there and they're preaching evolution and all that. No, that wasn't the problem. These were people who believed God created solely and sovereignly the whole universe. But they were teaching error concerning how God saves sinners.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
Now look, and this is life eternal. He's going to define it for us.
Yes, sir.
Remember who's speaking here. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee. Who's he talking to? His Father, of course. That's easy. I mean, that's a given. But notice how he then said, and he's even saying it to the Father. This didn't have to be recorded. But it was.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Exactly.
And this is life eternal, that they might, what? Know thee, what? The only true God. Now, what is amazing is it seems like many people, maybe not the majority, but many people realize there are false gods out there. And you believe in the wrong God, you're in trouble. But when it comes to Jesus, just about any Jesus seems to do. Right? As long as he's not Jesus Christ Superstar. And some of you younger folks may or may not know what I'm talking about, but you understand? As long as it's not the Jesus of the Mormons, don't you know, that was the brother of Satan back yonder in eternity.
Yeah.
No, as we will see, look at it, that this is life eternal, that they might, now notice this, you don't know him to get life eternal. This is the manifestation. This is life eternal. How do you know somebody is given that he should give eternal life? Give freely.
Amen.
They don't have to bat an eyelid.
That's right.
They don't have to puff a breath. He gives it.
Yep.
Gives it to who? Mm-hmm. To as many as the Father gave him.
Amen.
That's what it said, right?
Yeah.
He does it. And this is life eternal. How are you going to know who really has it? That they might know thee. The might is not there of a matter of supposition or possibility.
Right.
It's that they're allowed to.
Yes, sir.
That's the reason for the might there.
Yeah.
And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, what? The only true God. You missed the true God. You missed it all. I don't care how much you are a monotheist. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
But look, and... So he says there's something else got to come along with that. Right?
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now he's praying this to the Father. Mm-hmm. But I've got this suspicion, Mason, that he prayed this for our benefit.
Yeah.
Actually, I know he prayed it for our benefit, because he goes on to say he prayed it for our benefit.
Yeah.
But even deeper than that, I believe it was written down for our benefit.
Yes,
that we'll know how serious this matter is. This ain't no laughing matter. I get up here, I can tell funny jokes and stories all day long. They can have a religious tinge to them and a moral story. And it doesn't make a lick of difference. You and I both can still die and go to hell.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. And notice which one.
Yeah.
Now, some people think, well, that's just so simplistic. But it's not.
Ooh.
Whom thou hast sent. Even he was praying that.
Yes, sir.
You see that? You think it's not important? Very important. Now, add together with that what he has already previously said to a bunch of religious people, John chapter 5.
Yes, sir.
And there's a lot more scriptures than what I have time to go through. And yes, there will be another message, Lord willing, on this, because I will not get through with it. John chapter 5. These are our Lord's words again, verse 21.
Yes.
And remember who he's talking to. He's talking to the Jews.
Yep.
And it says, it says in verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him.
Exactly.
The more he talked, the more they wanted him dead.
Exactly.
That's exactly the way it is when somebody gets up and nowadays, in this day, and tries to tell from the scripture, here is who he is and what he said, and the same thing, they get angrier and angrier and angrier with you. They'll walk into this assembly, tell you, I believe what you do, and have me baptize them, and 2 months later, leave with vitriol and hatred.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That quick.
Yeah.
That quick.
Yeah.
You know why? Because listen, if you don't have life to start with, it ain't going to show up on you. Your death's going to show up on you.
Yeah.
But if God Almighty's breathed life into you, this message is going to be real to you. And I don't say that, I don't say that to be mean. I say that because I care about men and women's souls, and men and women are converted to and only by the truth of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not be converted to God in Christ by lies about God in Christ.
Right. That's it.
Now look what he said. Here's what he said. These are people who sought the more to kill him. Why? Because of just what he said.
Yes, sir.
He wasn't really Joe even doing anything here, was he?
No.
Sometimes he healed on the Sabbath day. They got their jammies in a wad.
Exactly.
You know, got all twisted up. Here he's just talking. But look at what he says. Verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them. And that's an amazing thing. I don't have time to even think about that. Even so the Son quickeneth what?
Yeah.
What does that say?
Yeah.
Whoever will let him? Why do men read that into that? Because they don't want that Jesus. They don't want this Jesus who spoke what this Jesus spoke. They want now, rather than just hating him for who he is, they say, well, that's not really him.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's what they do nowadays. Since he's not here to personally say, no, that is what I meant. I meant what I said. And I take it Christ always meant what he said.
Amen.
He wasn't the liar. Satan is.
Yeah.
But look. Even so the Son does what? Quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man. Now what does he mean by that? That God Almighty kind of sits back and says, all right, now Jesus, you kind of take care of it all now. Is that what he's talking about? No, he's talking about preeminence. What is it in God Almighty's purpose that, what is it that God has put right out in the forefront and says, right here. Those whom I'm giving life to will honor this. And if they don't have life from me.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about here.
Yeah.
You understand?
Exactly.
For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all should honor who?
Yeah.
The Son.
Yes, sir.
Even as they honor the Father. Now, he is not trying to say, there's some out there that honor me, but or honor the Father, but they need to kind of push that honor on over to me as well. No, he's saying a person is honoring. No, he said, God was Abraham's father. What did Abraham do?
Yeah.
Loved me.
Exactly.
Rejoiced to see my day.
Amen.
He saw my day, rejoiced in it, and was glad.
Amen.
He said, you seek to kill me. He said, Abraham didn't do this.
Right.
He said, if Abraham was your father, you'd live just like Abraham lived.
Yeah.
You'd do the works of Abraham. You'd love me. Why? Because Christ is what God has put out at the forefront.
Yes, sir.
He's it.
That's it.
This is why our Lord had the right to say, he that is against me, or no, how does he say it? He said, he that is not for me is against me. I almost said that completely wrong, didn't I? You see, that's the whole point. There are a lot of people that are for Jesus. But it ain't the Christ of God.
Exactly.
And somebody said, but that's just something you Calvinists put in there. No, even Paul, before Calvinism came along as Calvinism, Paul said there are those who preach another Jesus.
That's right.
And as a matter of fact, even Jesus said, watch out for the false Jesuses.
That's right.
Didn't he?
Yes, sir.
There'll come others saying, I am Christ, or here is Christ, or there is Christ, or that one over there is Christ.
Yeah.
No, it's... here's what eternal life is, to know the one true God and the Christ he sent. And it's the Christ he sent, that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son. Here's why I know what it wasn't an interpretation. I am showing what this. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him.
Amen.
So much so. Let me just prime this up. Just bring it right to the head. So much so that in the epistle that we have now under study concerning adoption, so much so is this at the forefront. So much so is this God Almighty's primary and only way.
Yes, sir.
Notice I said both. His primary and thus only way. That the Apostle Paul says, if somebody comes along and preaches a gospel that is contrary to the one I already preached to you, let him go to hell.
Amen.
That's it. Amen. And he starts it off right that way.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? I mean, he starts it off. He don't get through four or five verses.
Yeah.
And then he writes this, Galatians 1. Mm-hmm. He says there's five verses. How long do you think it would take him to write, or have, if he was having someone, what is it, amnesis or whatever they called it, someone write this down for him, he's dictating it. How long do you think it'd take him to write it, get them five verses going? And immediately says, I marvel.
Yeah.
I marvel. It's kind of, Paul is saying, but actually it's beyond me.
Yeah. Exactly.
I marvel that you're so soon removed from him. Now notice the gravity of it here. It's not just you got the wrong doctrine, you've removed from the true and living God.
Exactly.
You see that?
That's it.
It's more than you just kind of messed up. You've abandoned the truth. You've abandoned him who is the truth. Now, here's my point. If you ain't never started on that path, that this message really ain't for you. Because God's going to have to start you on that path first.
Exactly.
You can't be removed from where you ain't never been.
Exactly.
You know? So I'm not talking to those that ought to get on the right way. I'm talking to those who have been on the right way, at least have professed to be on the right way, and somebody's come along and tricked them.
Yep.
That's what Paul's talking about. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So there are other gospels. Right? Right? Yeah? Yeah, come on, don't say no. Just say yeah. Yeah. Don't try to play games here. Yeah.
That's it.
Which is, he said, which is not another, but look.
Yeah.
But there be some that trouble you and would what? Pervert the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
So we can say, anything other than the truth that Paul preached to start with, it is a perverted gospel.
Amen. That's it.
Now let me put it to you just as bluntly as I can. It's just like believing I can homosexuality will get me to glory. How many of you believe that here this morning? How many of you think that's what God wants you to do so you can get to glory? Huh? That's the word perversion, isn't it? Perversion. Now look, it's more than that. Pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or what?
Yeah.
Or an angel from heaven.
Exactly.
Preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Amen.
That ain't talking about, well, I hope he loses his job and God teaches him a lesson.
No.
This ain't, I hope on the way down to the next Galatian church here in this one place, I hope maybe his horse stumbles, breaks his leg, and he don't make it there. Is it?
No.
He says, let him go to hell.
Yeah.
Let him.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about him.
Exactly.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Is it not?
Yeah.
That's scary. Well, but you know, Paul, he got fired up anyway. Yeah, he did. And look, and immediately, as we said before, so say I now again, if any, and that man, don't let that fool you. It doesn't matter whether it's got a skirt on or a pair of slacks. It doesn't matter. The point here is not the gender of the person. If any, because there's some that don't have any gender, the angels, even them. Right? As we said before, so say I now again, if any preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have that which ye have, notice, received, let him be accursed. Now somebody says that's tough, but that's how highly God regards it. Not Paul,
yeah.
Not me, not the members of Sovereign Grace Chapel. That's how highly God regards the truth of the person and work of his Son.
Amen.
The true and living God and Jesus Christ who he sent is at the forefront. And God bows people down to it or they have not been bowed.
Amen.
That's right. He bows them down to that truth. Primarily, and let me tell you, only. Because everything else doesn't matter if you miss that one.
Exactly.
It don't matter how much you meet on Sunday. And if you can even put Sunday night and Wednesday night in there.
Right.
No matter how much you read your Bible, you miss the Christ of God, the one he sent. You've missed what God has set out there for all glory to see.
Amen.
And one day they will.
Yeah.
Because it says that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And one place that even translates it like it really, every tongue shall swear that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day every man will confess who he really is and what he really did.
Yes, sir.
I take this to be very serious.
Yes, sir.
So much so, bear with me just a couple more moments. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 21. Paul puts it this way. There's another place too that he states something along this line. It's in chapter 5. Verses 1 through 5. Look at chapter 2, verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Yeah. For if righteousness come by the law. Come on now, what?
Yeah.
If righteousness come by the law, then what? Jesus Christ died in vain.
Right.
I almost feel like Paul probably even had trouble even saying that.
Yeah.
Because I have trouble even saying that.
Yes,
you know what I mean? Christ died in vain. Now you talk about, this is not just, well, we just got the doctrine wrong.
No, you're right.
To have this wrong is to insult Abba Father.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but so many people hate it. Yes, they do. And that's why our Lord said, don't fear men.
Yeah.
All they can do is kill your body. But fear God that can destroy both your body and soul in hell, because he so highly regards his son that if you're never brought to that same regard, you will be damned forever.
That's right. Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now let me show you the passage that just tops it off. There's actually two of them, but Colossians chapter 1, is it 1? Let me look. Colossians chapter 1. Is that it? Let me find my spot here. Bear with me a moment. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 16. This is talking about Christ. Him who is the image of the invisible God. In other words, if you ever see God, guess who you're going to see? And let me put it another way. One day when all men see God.
Yeah.
Let me put it another way. Ultimately, Mason, when all men have seen God, whether it's at the great white throne or otherwise, guess who they will all have seen?
Exactly.
Christ and Christ only.
Amen. That's
right.
That's who they will see. For by Him.
Amen.
Why? Because why do I say that? What I just said? Because God is invisible.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
For verse 16, for by Him, who that same Jesus, that one,
yes,
not another one.
Exactly.
For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Now, let me just stop and say that this then takes the full gamut from great glory unto vileness and corruption. These words describe everything from the angels of God's glory in heaven unto those that even unto those that fail and are under corruption and under damnation with Satan himself. That's what these words mean here. Everything. The angelic hosts, human creatures, everything. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible or invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And look, and He is before all things. This is what I would say. It's at the forefront.
Yes, sir.
He's out there. He's it. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. They are held together. All of these things. Hell could not spit fire unless God Almighty says so.
Right.
Satan cannot even make a roar without God Almighty give him say so.
That's right.
It's all what? Right here. By Him all things what consist. Look, and He is. Not ought to be. Well, is Christ head in your church? Either He is or you ain't got one.
Exactly.
Was head is Christ head in your heart? Either he is or you're not a part of his body.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. For by or no. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things doesn't hurt nothing, but it's all he might have what? The preeminence.
Amen.
I fully believe this. You remember there was a time that Satan himself appeared in the presence of God Almighty. Didn't he? Remember Job's case? I believe there have been other times too, Mason. I just can't necessarily prove that. And there may be other places that show that as well. But I know there it says twice Satan came to appear in the presence of God.
Yeah.
Guess who he was appearing before?
Sir.
Jesus Christ the Son.
Yes, sir.
That's who he was appearing before.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. When he came to this earth, what did the devil say?
Yeah.
Even when men won't and can't.
Yeah.
We know who you are.
Exactly.
No, wait.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Would you please not send us to hell right now, but let us go over to them pigs? Isn't that what they said? Why? They knew we are in his hand and he will do with us as he pleases.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what? That's the, now, if he can control devils, you think he's going to have trouble with me?
Exactly.
Huh? Come on now.
That's it.
We are lower than the angels.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
That's the order, like it or not. We're on, when it comes to the higher order of God's created beings, yeah, man's above the animal creation, but when it comes to the higher order of created beings, we're on the bottom of the totem pole. Even when we were created good, we were at the bottom. And guess what we did? We even tried digging, and we even did, in our daddy Adam, dig down even further and further and further, didn't we? No, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Why? Why? For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now either God will bring you to see that, or one day in judgment at the great white throne you will see that. But then it will be too late. There will be no eternal life in that knowledge and understanding then, will there? Now the whole point is this: you cannot fall from where you've never been.
That's right.
Don't come to me and say, "Well, I just fell from grace." Okay, okay, that's fine. That's fine. Were you ever there to start with?
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something: if you think you've fallen from somewhere you've never been, and then you think you get back up and go back to where you thought you used to be, but you never were there, guess where you're at?
Yeah.
You ain't where you ought to be.
Exactly.
Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not being funny. If here's the starting place, but you're over here, and you fall. Now, somebody over here in the starting place, and they fall, both of you fail, right?
Yeah.
And you get back up. But to get back up is to go back to where it turned back. Turn back. Then go back to where you ought to be. But if you've been in the wrong place all along, guess what? You're still deceived, and you'll still perish.
Right.
It's only those who've been there and have fallen from grace that will be restored back to this. You see that? Somebody said, well, you can't fall from grace. When we was in that Baptist church, they just argue off. Yes, you can. They did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's this one thing about those of God Almighty saved. We are not, Paul said in Hebrew, we are not of them that what? That turn back. Wait a minute. I thought these guys did. Yeah they did.
Uh-huh.
Listen to all Paul said. We are not of them that turn back. What? Unto perdition.
Amen.
God won't let his own go that far.
Amen.
You see that?
Amen.
When they fall, they will be restored.
Yes,
he
sir.
Says that even in the same epistle as well. Yes, it's not they will be forgiven. Yes, they will. And it's a glorious thing. But you don't know nothing about forgiveness till he first restores you.
Amen.
And that's true in the beginning of conversion, and it's true all throughout your Christian life. You're not going to experience forgiveness until God Almighty brings you back to where you're supposed to be. If you fall, you will fall. I have fallen and probably will fall again.
Yeah.
But if I'm his, he'll bring me right back to where I was. And I'll know his forgiveness, but I won't know it and experience it, and it won't be lovely, David, until he brings me back to where I used to be, where I was.
That's it.
Because if you think you've got forgiveness and you're loving it and experiencing it while you're still over here, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Why? Because the scripture says no chastening. I'll quote it for me, Joe. I missed it. No chastening is what? Joyous. But what? Grievous. See, in other words, when you get down, when you fall, it will not be a bed of roses in the truest sense. It will not be, well, at least I'm one of God's. When you're down there and God Almighty causes you to begin to see, I'm down here and I've fallen from where I used to be, yeah. You'll begin to say, you know what, I wonder if I'm even mother of God's after all. You'll start fearing God and you'll say, oh God Almighty, bring me back to where I ought to be. Bow me down once again at the feet of my sovereign Lord.
Yeah. Yes,
and then you'll feel the sweet assurance of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And that's the only way it really comes. All these people out here that just abandon the truth, abandon God's people out there, could care less about being here. If they're supposed to be here, if they said they're a part of this group and they don't care about being here, they got a problem. As Paul would say, even to these folks and to you and I stand in doubt of you. As I said,
yes,
remember, he didn't say that. God will forgive you if you'll just come back. Isn't that the way religion does today?
Oh, yeah.
But you ought to just come back. Paul says, no, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness has come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That's what you're really saying. Now, where do you stand?
Exactly.
Do you think Christ's death was vain, or do you think, listen, all things are ready?
Yes.
That's where it's at. Father, teach us these things. Not only, Lord, while we stand, but even when we fall.
Yes.
Because that's what brings us back. That's what restores us. Because that is not just where we ought to be. It is where we ought to be. But Lord, it's the honor and glory that's due your Son. And I thank you in his name. Amen.